If you have your Bibles, go with me today to Daniel chapter 6. Daniel chapter 6. And today we are coming to probably the most familiar story in all of the book of Daniel, Daniel and the lion's den. How many of you are like me? You love this story. I mean, I've been hearing it since I was a kid in Sunday school. I still can't get over how much I enjoy it. There are a lot of great takeaways from Daniel chapter 6. But as we come at the beginning of our sermon, let's ask ourselves, what's the big idea? What is the main purpose this story is in the Bible? Well, the New Testament helps us. The writer of Hebrews in 11:33 talks about unnamed prophets who through faith shut the mouths of lions. So the big idea of this passage is that the faith of Daniel shut the mouths of lions. And the big takeaway that we're supposed to come away from this sermon with this morning is that we can trust God to deliver us in the toughest times of our lives. Amen. Amen. Daniel's faith got him into trouble in this story. In fact, it was the only thing that could. Daniel's faith sustained him in his trouble. It was the only thing that could. Yeah. Yeah. Daniel's faith delivered him from his trouble. Yes. It was the only thing that could. He sums up the story in verse 23 where it says, "So Daniel was taken up out of the den, and no manner of hurt was found upon him because he believed in his God." Now that's such an important message, because at this time in history, the Jewish people were in a lion's den. They were in captivity, surrounded by powerful enemies, lions, if you will. They were in the heavy minority. And the thought of returning to their land and having deliverance from their enemies seemed highly improbable. Even more improbable than a senior citizen surviving a night in the lion's den. So to the original reader, this was more than an exciting story. It was an encouraging sermon, teaching them that God can be trusted in the toughest of circumstances. Faith can triumph even in the lion's den. I think that's a message we need today. You may be facing a lion's den of your own. Perhaps you're a young person trying to stand for God in a hostile school environment. Perhaps you're a professional whose faith is constantly belittled by your coworkers. Perhaps your home is like a lion's den right now, and you don't know whether to fight or flee. We're going to learn today that faith can sustain us in the tough times of life. And if it's God's will, faith can deliver us. Amen. Even from the lion's den. Yeah. So let's look at Daniel chapter 6. The title of the message this morning is Faith to Finish Well. Look at verse 1. "It pleased Darius to set over the kingdom 120 princes, which should be over the whole kingdom. And over these three presidents, of whom Daniel was first, that the princes might give accounts unto them, and the king should have no damage. Then this Daniel was preferred above the presidents and princes, because an excellent spirit was in him, and the king thought to set him over the whole realm." Let's look at three qualities of true faith. I want you to notice faith's integrity. As we saw last week, the Babylonians are now out. The Medes and the Persians are in. We meet a new king. Here he's called Darius. In other places of scripture, he's called Cyrus. Darius is his official title. Cyrus is his name. When Cyrus takes over, he decides to keep some of the Babylonian government in place so they can have a smooth transition. It doesn't take him long in that process to discover what he has in Daniel. His plan is to make Daniel prime minister, second in command of the entire country. Now, as you think about this, don't get the idea that we're still talking about teenage Daniel from chapter 1, who purposed in his heart not to defile himself with the king's meat. No. 70 years have passed since Daniel went into captivity. He's easily in his 80s. Now, what was it about Daniel that the king would promote a man in his 80s to such an important position? He had no Botox, no spray tanner. Why would the king promote him? Because an excellent spirit was in him. Translation, Daniel had a great attitude. Even in his 80s, he was upbeat, positive, fired up about what God had given him to do in life. You know, the Bible says a merry heart doeth good like a medicine, but a broken spirit drieth the bones. The spirit of a man will sustain his infirmity, but a wounded spirit who can bear? He that is slow to anger is better than the mighty. He that ruleth his spirit than he that taketh a city. Conversely, he that hath no rule over his own spirit is like a city broken down and without walls. We can't control our circumstances. We can control our spirit. We do that by surrendering ourselves to the Spirit of God. And the Bible says the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance. Now, we have been with Daniel from the beginning to the end of his life. Think about all that he's been through. If anybody had the right to get grumpy or bitter, it was Daniel. But the Bible tells us he had an excellent spirit. That tells us trials are no excuse for a bad spirit. A hostile culture is no excuse for a bad spirit. Getting older is no excuse for a bad spirit. It is possible to take a strong stand for all of your life and still keep a sweet spirit. And if we need anything in the days in which we live, it's Christians who will take a strong stand but keep a sweet spirit. While Daniel had an excellent spirit, his opponents had an envious spirit. Look at verse 4. Then the presidents and princes sought to find occasion against Daniel concerning the kingdom, but they could find none occasion nor fault. For as much as he was faithful, neither was there any error or fault found in him. Then said these men, we shall not find any occasion against this Daniel, except we find it against him concerning the law of his God. Then these presidents and princes assembled together to the king. Now this was predictable, wasn't it? What's the first thing this world tries to do to a pure person? Defile him. I mean, if you have a great reputation, there are going to be some people who make it their mission in life to ruin it if they can. If you do right, you will be done wrong. So they tried to dig up the dirt. They hacked into his emails. They searched his internet history. They had a private eye tail him on the weekend. But problem, Daniel's squeaky clean. He's above reproach. And the only way they could trap him was to put him in an either-or situation with God and the king. Either obey God or obey the king. We know Daniel's going to obey God. C.H. Spurgeon was a pastor in England that God used in a great way. One day, blackmailers sent a letter to him to the effect that if he did not put a certain amount of money in a certain place at a certain time, they would publish some things in the newspaper that would defame him and ruin his public ministry. Well, instead of leaving money in that place, Spurgeon left a letter. He said, you and your like are requested to publish all you know about me across the heavens. He knew that his life was blameless and they couldn't touch his character. You know, it's pretty remarkable that after 70 years in politics, they couldn't find one thing on Daniel. That may be the most amazing miracle in the entire passage. Not that he was delivered from the lion's den, but that there was once upon a time an honest politician. Daniel's faith in God led him to a life of integrity. Private faith became public integrity. Can I remind you that the Bible says faith without works is dead? If what we say we believe on Sunday doesn't change the way we work on Monday, then maybe we don't really believe it. People of faith should eventually become people of integrity. Look at verse number six, if you would. Then these presidents and princes assembled together to the king and said thus unto him, King Darius, live forever. all the presidents of the kingdom, and by the way, that's not true because Daniel was one of the presidents and he didn't have anything to do with this. All the presidents of the kingdom, the governors and the princes, the counselors and the captains have consulted together to establish a royal statute and to make a firm decree that whosoever shall ask a petition of any god or man for 30 days, save of thee, O king, he shall be cast into the den of lions. Now, O king, establish the decree and sign the writing that it be not changed, according to the law of the Medes and Persians, which altereth not. Wherefore, King Darius signed the writing and the decree. Now, these guys are setting a trap for Daniel. And they present the king with a God of the Month campaign. You remember when you were in elementary school and one of the students got selected to be principal for the day? And it was really funny because everybody knew they were no way qualified to be principal for the day. The only thing funnier than that is a man thinking he could be God for the month. And I think God just set his head back in heaven and laughed, don't you? Regardless of how ludicrous the proposition was, it did appeal to the king's ego. He fell for the bait. Now here's Daniel. At an age when most men have retired to the golf course, they've chosen to live in the RV, and he's about to face the greatest trial of his life, isn't he? But by the way, it will also be the greatest triumph of his life. I mean, when you think about Daniel, what are the words that naturally follow? Daniel and the lion's den. This story proves that age is no barrier to serving God. Neither is it a prevention of attack or temptation. Daniel had the faith to stay in the palace and continue serving God when many would have used their age as an excuse to stop. And I just tell you today, if you're not dead, God's not done. Amen. You may be in your 80s facing the greatest trial of your life, but by faith, it can become the greatest triumph of your life. So we see in the first place, face integrity. Look with me at verse 10, if you would. Now, when Daniel knew that the writing was signed, he reasoned, what will skipping 30 days of prayer really matter? I mean, I've been praying for 70 years that God would bring the people back into the land. He hadn't done it. I guess prayer doesn't work, so it really won't matter if I keep praying during these 30 days. Is that how the verse reads? Well, not if you have a King James anyway. Look again, all right? Now, when Daniel knew that the writing was signed, he went into his house. And his windows being open and his chamber towards Jerusalem, he kneeled upon his knees 3 times a day and prayed and gave thanks before his God as he did aforetime. Then these men assembled and found Daniel praying and making supplication before his God. The second quality of true faith is faith's consistency. And I marked in verse 10 as he had done before time. This is what Daniel had been doing 3 times a day for 70 years. And mark it. Daniel could pray on the day that it mattered most, because he had prayed on the days when it didn't seem like it mattered at all. Yes, sir. He could pray when he knew everyone was watching, because he had cultivated a habit of prayer when no one was watching. Prayer was not a hobby he dabbled in. It was the habit of his life. It was Aristotle who said, "We are what we repeatedly do." Excellence then is not an act, but a habit. This was Daniel's habit. Now we notice again, his life is on the line. I mean, here he is in his 80s and he's facing a lion's den. When trouble came into his life and the pressure mounted, prayer was his first response, not his last resort. Let me ask you, if you're in a lion's den in your life, or you've been through some lion's dens in your life, when trouble comes into your life, what's your first response? When you've been hurt in your marriage and your spouse isn't responding, when you're being pressured by someone to do the wrong thing, when the burdens of life get overwhelming and more than you can bear, what's your first response? We usually have one of three responses. Number one, we panic. We get scared and we cave. If I don't give in, I'll lose my job. My boyfriend will dump me. I'll be an outcast. I mean, God, all the Medes and Persians are against me. What sense does it make to stand alone? Many times when trouble comes, we compromise our stand. I remind you of what Paul wrote to the church in Corinth in 1 Corinthians 10. He said, "There hath no temptation taken you, but such as is common to man. But God is faithful, who will not suffer you to be tempted above that ye are able, but will with the temptation make a way of escape, that ye may be able to bear it." Amen. Now, I don't know what temptation or trial you're facing today, but I'll tell you this, no temptation or trial is unbeatable. Right. You don't have to have that drink. Right. You don't have to click that website. If you will look to God, you can count on Him every time to either give you a way out of the trial or the strength to endure it. But many times in life when trouble comes, we panic and we cave. The other extreme response is the response of pride. I mean, instead of flight, we fight. Instead of compromising our stand, we compromise our spirit. Someone attacks us, we attack them. Or we say, "I can handle this on my own." Let me tell you something, folks. Prayerlessness is the greatest indicator of a prideful heart. If we don't pray regularly, we are telling God, "I don't need you. I can handle it on my own. I got this." And isn't that exactly what Nebuchadnezzar said in chapter 4? And God taught him that those who walk in pride, He is able to abase. It's one of the major messages of this book. Sometimes God is going to put us in situations in life that we can't fight our way out of. Maybe you came in here this morning crushed by something, financially underwater, marriage on the line, a child rebelling, health evaporating. I'm convinced God's great agenda in our lives is to strip away our self-sufficiency so that we will learn to trust in Him. The Bible says God resists the proud, but He gives grace to the humble. Amen. And our greatest victories in life do not come by fighting. They come by trusting. Amen. They come by faith. And what God is doing in your life, and He's putting you in impossible situations to strip away your self-sufficiency so you will humble yourself and learn to trust in Him. Amen. So I say today, turn from your pride. Receive God's grace. We respond in pride. We respond in panic, or we can respond in prayer. And this is how Daniel faced a life of such immense pressure, but was able to glorify God anyway. When trouble came into his life, he transferred those troubles to God through prayer. And I want you to know you can do that today. Jesus said in Matthew 11, "Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest." Who couldn't use some of that? Some of you are already getting it, not spiritual rest, physical rest. I'm just joking. "Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for I am meek and lowly in heart. Ye shall find rest unto your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light." Well, we came in here so weighed down. Well, let me tell you, Jesus said that serving him is easy. That's what he said. Not that it's easy for us, but it's easy for him. Omnipotence never sweats. I promise you, God is not nearly weighed down by your problems as you are. And what he invites you to do today is to yoke up with him. "Come yoke up with me," Jesus said. The yoke was an instrument of labor. It allowed two strong oxen to evenly share the weight. Let me ask you a question. In our relationship with Jesus, who's the strong one? Well, he is. So imagine a yoke where there's a strong ox, and a weak ox. In a yoke where there's a strong ox and a weak ox, who's going to pull the load? The strong ox. The weight will not be evenly distributed. It will fall upon the shoulders of the strong. The strong ox will pull the load provided the weak ox stays in step with the strong ox. Prayer is how we stay in step with Jesus. But when we get behind the burden and behind the strong ox, we try to run from those things. Or we get out ahead of the strong ox and we try to handle our problems on our own. That's when our problems crush us. That's when we pull the load. But if we, through prayer, will stay in step with Jesus, He will pull the load and we'll find serving Him is easy. You know, this is an incredible way to live. It's so peaceful when you finally come to the place in life where you learn you don't have to shoulder all of life's troubles on your own. He said, cast thy burden upon the Lord and He shall sustain thee. Casting all thy cares upon Him, for He cares for you. Let me ask you, what's your default response to trouble? Is it panic, pride, or prayer? Daniel chose prayer. And he had just as much peace in the lion's den as he had anywhere else. And I tell you today, there is a peace that comes in the prayer closet that you won't find in nature. You won't find it in a drink after work or an hour full of video games. The hymn writer said, sweet hour of prayer, sweet hour of prayer that calls me from a world of care and bids me at my Father's throne, makes all my wants and wishes known. In seasons of distress and grief, my soul has often found relief and oft escaped the tempter's snare by thy return, sweet hour of prayer. Can I teach you a math equation you need to know this morning? Consistent pressure plus consistent prayer equals consistent peace. And if any life proved that, it was Daniel's. He was consistent. Look with me at verse 12, if you will. Then they came near and spake before the king concerning the king's decree. Hast thou not signed a decree that every man that shall ask a petition of any god or man within 30 days, save of thee, O king, shall be cast into the den of lions? The king answered and said, the thing is true, according to the law of the Medes and Persians, which altereth not. Then answered they and said before the king, that Daniel, which is of the children of the captivity of Judah, regardeth not thee, O king, nor the decree that thou hast signed, but maketh his petition three times a day. Then the king, when he heard these words, was sore displeased with himself and set his heart on Daniel to deliver him. And he labored till the going down of the sun to deliver him. I want you to notice, lastly, faith's dependency. We read that the king, when he discovered that a trap had been set for Daniel and he had fallen for the bait, worked and labored all day till the going down of the sun so that he might deliver Daniel from the lion's den. In fact, the theme of deliverance is the key theme of this entire paragraph. It's used five times in the rest of the passage. The king is working and laboring and pulling strings and greasing palms, doing everything he can to deliver Daniel, but he cannot. We're going to find out here in just a second that the king goes back to his quarters and is up all night, frantically pacing the floor, wondering what's happening to Daniel. Guess who was not doing that? Daniel. I mean, he's the one going to the lion's den. But we actually don't read that he offered even a word of protest. Why? Because he depended on God. And he knew even if the king could not deliver him, that his God could. Let me tell you, this is the central aspect of faith. And I think it's the one we're missing in our culture today. many Christians are compromising their stance because they have forgotten that God can deliver them. If I don't wear the company lanyard during Pride Month, I'll lose my job. If on my lunch break I try to tell my coworkers that Jesus is the only way to heaven, I'll be fired for not being inclusive. It's interesting, by the way, that our culture is inclusive of everything but the truth, right? Yeah. If I take a stand in my public school and write a paper on biblical creation or biblical sexuality, I won't get a good grade. And if I don't get a good grade, I won't get into a good college. Translation. If I take my stand for God, I might wind up in a lion's den. I tell you, if you lose your job, God's able to give you another job. If you make a bad grade on a paper, God can still use your life anyway. Daniel was willing to obey God and trust him with the consequences. And we need another generation of Daniels, young and old, who will stand up regardless of the circumstances, even if it means a lion's den, because they believe their God is able to deliver them. Many Christians have forgotten that. That's why they're compromising their stand. Let me tell you, this is also the reason why many Christians are compromising their spirit. Many Christians in our day have become convinced that everything has a human solution. The king will solve it. And if he won't solve it, we'll get another king who can solve it. And then when he can't solve it, and things are still heading in the wrong direction, we get angry and frustrated. Let me tell you something, folks. A lot of the problems in our lives and in our country are spiritual problems. And only God can deliver us. We'll never look for that solution as long as we think a king or other person is the final solution. As long as our hope is in the king to get us out of the lion's den, we're never going to look above the king to see the only one who really can get us out of the lion's den. And if we depended on God, we'd spend less time mean posting on Facebook and Twitter, less time listening to talk radio, more time on our knees in prayer, asking him to do what only he can do. Daniel's confidence wasn't in the king, it was in the Lord, and that's how he could keep a good spirit towards the king. Look at verse 15. Then these men assembled unto the king and said unto the king, "Know, O king, that the law of the Medes and Persians is that no decree nor statute which the king establisheth may be changed." Then the king commanded, and they brought Daniel and cast him into the den of lions. Now the king spake and said unto Daniel, "Thy God, whom thou servest continually, he will deliver thee." And a stone was brought and laid upon the mouth of the den, and the king sealed it with his own signet and with the signet of his lords, that the purpose might not be changed concerning Daniel. So see the scene. The king has done everything he can to deliver Daniel. The law of the Medes and Persians cannot be amended. He must throw Daniel into the lion's den. They throw him into the den. They cover the door of the den with a stone. They seal the stone with a king's seal. And we're all wondering what happens next to Daniel. Interesting, the camera of Scripture is not going to follow Daniel into the den. It's going to follow the king back to the palace. Look at verse 18. Then the king went to the palace and passed the night fasting. Neither were instruments of music brought before him, and his sleep went from him. Then the king arose very early in the morning and went in haste unto the den of lions. And when he came to the den, he cried with a lamentable voice unto Daniel. And the king spake and said to Daniel, "O Daniel, servant of the living God, is thy God, whom thou servest continually, able to deliver thee from the lions?" Now again, we want to know what happened in that lion's den. I'm not real worried about what happened to the king, that he had a sleepless night. But the narrator's making a brilliant point here. The king, who would be God, could not deliver his own servant from his own law. And he stayed up all night pacing the floor, frantic about what would happen to Daniel. He runs early in the morning to the den and asks a question he does not know the answer to. Daniel, are you still alive? Here's the point. Gods don't run. Gods don't stay up all night. Gods don't get up in the morning worrying about what happened while they were asleep. Gods don't lament and ask what happened. Because we've been following the king all night, we still don't know what happened to Daniel. You cut the suspense with the knife. Look at verse 21. Then said Daniel unto the king, you dirty, rotten, lily-livered liver who threw me into a lion's den. No. An excellent spirit was in him. O king, live forever. My God has sent his angel and has shut the lion's mouths, that they have not hurt me. For as much as before him innocency was found in me, and also before thee, O king, have I done no hurt. Then was the king exceeding glad for him, and commanded that they should take Daniel up out of the den. So Daniel was taken out of the den, and no manner of hurt was found upon him, not even a scratch, because he believed in his God. Now, these are the only words that Daniel speaks in the entire story. The king was not able to deliver Daniel, but the King of Kings was. And ultimately, that's what this story is about, the God who is able to deliver his people. Now, listen carefully. Like every other story in the Bible, this story points us to another story, a greater story. Like Daniel, Jesus was examined and scrutinized, and no fault was found in him. Like Daniel, he was innocent, yet sentenced to death. His own den was closed by a stone. He too stayed in the tomb. And just like the king came to the den early in the morning, Mary and the women came to the tomb of Jesus at the first light of the day. Daniel's king was powerless to deliver him from a law that he had made, and Daniel went to the den as a result. We had broken the law of the King of Heaven and were powerless to deliver ourselves, so the king went into the den for us. Daniel was only sentenced to die. Jesus really did die. And the lion tore him to shreds. But early in the morning, when the ladies went to the tomb lamenting and looking for a dead body, they discovered that the God of Jesus was able to deliver. Amen. Now, ladies and gentlemen, we are all prone to look for a God of the month. In Daniel's day, it was Darius the Mede. In our lives, it might be financial security, the latest politician up for election, the approval of our culture. It's whatever you're trusting in to deliver you. I tell you, your God of the month is whatever you will compromise your stand or your spirit for. That's the thing you're really worshiping. The problem is, whatever that thing is, it cannot deliver you. When you need it most, it will cast you to the lions. My question for you today is, if Jesus would go to the lion's den for you, why would you look to any other God to deliver you? I ask you today, if Jesus would go to the lion's den for you, then why won't you stand up for him? Why won't you be counted as a Christian? Why won't you share your faith with the culture? Do you really care more about the approval of people than you care about the one who died for you? And I ask you, if Jesus would go to the lion's den for you, then why would you compromise your spirit? Think. He loved his enemies. He forgave even the people who were nailing him to a cross. He suffered rejection with joy. How can we say we're standing for him when our spirits are so unlike him? And when we're really looking to him to deliver us, not an earthly solution, when we're really looking to him, we'll be able to have a strong stand and keep a sweet spirit, just like Daniel. Now look with me at verse 25. Then King Darius wrote unto all people, nations, and languages that dwell in all the earth, peace be multiplied unto you. I make a decree that in every dominion of my kingdom, men tremble in fear before the God of Daniel. For he is the living God and steadfast forever. And his kingdom, that which shall not be destroyed, his dominion shall be even unto the end. Even Darius learned, he delivereth and rescueth. And he worketh signs and wonders in heaven and in earth, who hath delivered Daniel from the power of the lions. So this Daniel prospered in the reign of Darius and in the reign of Cyrus the Persian. Daniel prospered in a culture that threw him to the lions. How did he do it? By faith. Faith that had integrity. Faith that had consistency. Faith that had dependency that God could deliver. And I think if we need anything over the next few months, it's the kind of faith that Daniel had in Daniel chapter 6. Let's pray together. Father, we thank you for this story that we have heard since we were children, but has such relevant application for even what we are facing as individuals and as a culture today. Lord, we come to church to remind ourselves that we're looking to you. We often spend all week trying to figure it out and look for human solutions. And we come to church weighed down and burdened because there is no deliverance there. And through music and prayer and through your word, you remind us that we're supposed to put our faith in you to deliver us. And may each of us today transfer our trust from earthly solutions to you. May each of us today transfer our troubles from our burdened shoulders to you. With every head bowed and every eye closed, I tell you, Jesus trusted God in the greatest lion's den of all, the cross. And he went to that cross for one reason, and for my sins. 3 days later, he rose from the dead, proving that God can deliver us. He can forgive us. He can give us eternal life. The Bible says that eternal life is received by faith in Christ. That if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. And if you're here today and you'd like to be delivered from your sins, past, present, future, if you'd like to know you have eternal life with God forever in a real place called heaven, today you can put your trust in Jesus Christ. And today he will deliver you from your sins. Is there anyone here who would be honest enough to say, I am not 100% sure that all of my sins have been dealt with. I'm not 100% sure that if I were to die today, that I would go straight to heaven. If you're telling me I can be sure of that, I would like to be sure of that. Pastor, would you please pray for me? If that's you, with every head bowed and every eye closed, would you just lift your hand with mine? I tell you today, Jesus can deliver you from all your sins. The big ones, the little ones, the ugly ones, all of them. And today, if you'll put your faith and trust in him, he will deliver you. God bless you. I see that hand. Anyone else today who'd say, I would like Jesus to deliver me. God bless you. God bless you. That's wonderful. I want to know I'm on my way to heaven and that all of my sins are forgiven. Anybody else today? God bless you. If that's you, would you just lift your head and look up at me? God bless you. Wonderful. Here at the front, wonderful. Here in just a moment, we're going to have a time of invitation, and I am going to pray for you. What I'm going to invite you to do today is to stand up and leave your place with every head bowed and every eye closed, and let a worker here at the front show you from the Bible how you can know for sure your sins are forgiven and heaven is your home. Now, I want you to think about this. It'll take a little bit of courage to do that. I know that. But if Daniel had the courage to go to a lion's den, I think you could have the courage today to just come to the front and let someone pray with you. We want to take a Bible and in a loving way show you how you can be saved. Some are already coming, and I want my workers to be ready across the front here. That's wonderful. God bless you. Here in a moment, those of you who raised your hand, I'm going to pray for you. And when we stand, I want you to leave your seat and come. And let us know you want to trust Christ as Lord and Savior. Some have already come, and I hope you'll come today. Now, Christian, how many of you would say, I feel like I'm in a lion's den right now? I feel like as a culture, we're in a lion's den. And today I'm going to make the decision. I will not stop trusting God. I will not compromise my stand. I will not compromise my spirit. And I'm trusting God to deliver me. If that's you, would you lift your hand with mine? And perhaps, Christian, you would like to come and make those commitments to the Lord in an altar of prayer. Father, use this time of invitation. Thank you for those who have already come. May those who raised their hand and said they wanted to be delivered from their sins, may they come and find freedom and forgiveness in Jesus Christ. And for those Christians who are in the lion's den right now, oh God, help us to make some commitments to you like Daniel made and to keep them with consistency. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.